All right. Amen. You want to hear something funny? I didn't have batteries in my microphone. I always feel sorry for the sound guys. You know, everybody turns and looks at you, and it's the dumb preacher. 9 out of 9 times. I knew I was forgetting something. Speaking of forgetting something, we need, if you're a volunteer for VBS, we forgot to tell you, you need to pick up your t-shirts today in the Vista room after church. We got those for you. And if you have your Bibles, excuse me, we're in Luke chapter 5, and we are finishing our sermon series. We've been doing a series on faith. It's called How Firm a Foundation, because faith is the foundation of the Christian life. And we'll finish today. Next week, we're going to start a new sermon series that I'm excited about on David, man after God's heart. But the Apostle Paul tells us faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message of Christ, Romans 10:17. So what we've decided is when we come to faith, when we give our lives to Jesus, we've all been given a measure of faith. Some of us have seemingly much more bigger measures than others who have, you know, mustard seed faith. But we don't really need more faith. What we need is, for whatever faith we have, we need that to grow. We need that to strengthen, and to be used out in the world that needs the message of Jesus. And so, in the book of Hebrews, the author is discussing faith, our faith in Christ, and he makes this really powerful statement. He says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So our faith really is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And I think that's fitting in this day and age when we're seeing this world tossed to and fro by just stuff we couldn't have dreamed of 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It's crazy what's going on in our world, and we're all over the place. And so we have something that'll hold us steady. We have something to hold on to, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's also fitting today that we talk about an anchor, because we got another boat story. We've done several of those in this. Apparently, Jesus likes faith in boats. And so it's a familiar setting for us, Luke chapter 5, Jesus on the shoreline of Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee is also what it's called. It's in popular phase of his ministry, so he's got tons of people following him, crowds are following him everywhere he goes. And nearby he sees a couple boats sitting on the water, and one of those belongs to Peter. Now we've studied Peter quite a bit in this faith series. We've watched him really grow in his faith. We've seen him do some amazing things. He's been with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's walked on water, done some really cool stuff. But this is the story where Peter and Jesus meet for the first time, and how his faith began. So we're in chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret, and he saw two boats at the edge of the lake, and the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And then he sat down and he was teaching the crowds from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let your nets for a catch. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night and we've caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets. And when they did this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets began to tear. And so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man. For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. Don't be afraid, Jesus told Simon. From now on, you will be catching people. And then he brought the boats to the land. They brought the boats to the land, and they left everything and followed him. It's an amazing story. And there's, as usual, we got some principles from it. First one I want you to see is the relationship between hope and faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. One of the few, real definitions of faith given in the scripture is this. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. The reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. And I've always been challenged with that, honestly, to try to wrap my head around that and to understand that passage. And I'll tell you the reason why I think I have a difficult time with it is because when I see that word hope, in my mind automatically translates it to wish. It's wish. Like when my wife as a little girl would make a wish when she drove over the railroad tracks and she would wish for a horse. How's that working for you? Or when you throw a penny. Oh, you were wishing for the knight on the shining armor on the horse. Well, that really didn't work out for you. And I think that's all we got time for today. Wow, she just burned me. But the Greek word, if I'll get back to this, describes a confident expectation, a reality, a proof. You know, it's not like throwing a penny in a wishing well and wishing something would happen. There's a confident reality. There's proof of what's going to happen. And so the way I think about it is that hope is like cashing a check. If I were to write you a check for $50, and that's about all I got in my account, I'm not giving you actual money. I'm giving you a promissory note that says, my bank says I have $50 in it, and if you have this, you can give it to them, and they'll give you the cash. And so that's more along the lines, it's not actual money, but you can't see it, but it's the promise of money. So there's a confident expectation, there's a reality, there's proof. So in this story, when Peter meets Jesus, Jesus writes him a check. And he's gonna watch for a while to see if he's going to cash this check. And so we've talked several times about how Jesus finds us. And so it's interesting when Peter and Jesus first meet, how Jesus found him. The first thing we notice is that Peter was found in a crowd. We've discussed this before. Jesus notices people even when the rest of the world ignores them. Jesus notices us. He recognizes us in a crowd. Even a crowd that's pressing in on him. The woman with the issue of blood. And Jesus stopped and said, somebody touched me. Power's gone out from me. The woman at the well. Jesus went to meet her. But no, because she was trying to get away from everybody else. And so when we read that the crowd was pressing in on Jesus, he had to get in a boat to push out from the shore so that the people could hear his teaching. This world is big. This world has problems, but God notices you. He hears you when you pray. He cares for you. And I know it is easy to feel overlooked or forgotten or unimportant. But that's not the case with God. He will always find you. You're never lost in a crowd with him. Second thing I wanted you to see here was that Jesus found Peter at work. That's probably one of my favorite parts of this story. We have this idea that the only place to meet Jesus is at church. And I would suggest it's a very good place to meet Jesus. But it's not the only place. There are lots of places Jesus might show up in our lives. Peter wasn't at church when he met Jesus. Peter was at work. Peter wasn't looking for Jesus. The lady at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, wasn't looking for Jesus. Jesus was looking for them. And Jesus showed up in their lives when they least expected it. I want to introduce you to Morning Chris. Morning Chris is one of my favorite people in the world. Morning Chris is a fireball. She's a spitball. She gets up early. Go read Proverbs 31, and it's a description of Morning Chris. She gets up early. She makes sure the household's ready. She does stuff with flax. I don't even remember what it says. She sees property and buys it. You know, this is her in the morning. And sometimes Morning Chris says, you know what? We need to wash our sheets. So we strip the bed, wash the sheets. Afternoon Chris and Evening Chris have forgotten what Morning Chris has done. And so Evening Chris is ready to get in bed because it's been a long day. We just want to fall into bed. And there are no sheets. And Evening Chris curses Morning Chris. So this is Evening Peter. This is Afternoon Peter. This is Peter after he just got off a shift all night long. And it would be one thing if he brought in a bunch of fish, but he hadn't caught anything. And so now he can't just fall into bed and relax because he's got to go back out tonight. And so he's got to mend the nets. He's got to wash the nets. He's got to do all of the repair everything for another long day of fishing. He's grumbling. Bible doesn't say that, but just he's grumbling. It is boring. It is tedious. It's ordinary. And that's where Jesus found him. Skies didn't open, angels singing. Jesus met him after a bad day. So he's discussing this with Jesus, and we get a glimpse of what Peter's day had been like in verse 5. He says, he'd been out on the water all night. He says, we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. Now remember, this isn't a day off on his bass fishing boat. This is his livelihood. And if he didn't catch fish, they don't eat fish. They don't sell fish. They can't pay rent. They can't pay for the kids' braces. Whatever. So, he had failed. It was a failure of a day. It was a bad day. But here's the hope of faith. God finds us. No matter where you are. No matter what you're doing. No matter what the circumstances are, God will find you, and you can cash that check. So a couple more principles from Peter that I think he teaches us here. The next is to listen. Remember, Peter's exhausted. He's been up all night. He's been throwing nets. He's been pulling them back in. He's winding them back up and then throwing them out again and over and over and over, put on repeat. And he's done this all day, and now he's still not finished. Now he's on the shore. There's a crowd that comes up, probably getting in his way. He's focused on getting his nets ready to go out tomorrow, because if he has another day like today, he's going to be in big trouble financially. And then Jesus comes along and gives him his unprofessional opinion about fishing. All right, Jesus is a rabbi. He's a smart person. Jesus is a carpenter, probably really good with his hands, but he's not a fisherman. And so Jesus comes along with his fishing advice. And I was reminded of that this week because I was laughing. You know, one of our dear church members, Henry Rowe, passed away this week. After 7 years of battling ALS. I mean, literally the worst thing you could ever watch someone go through. But before that, man, he loves fishing. He is a fisherman. And when he got in that wheelchair and he couldn't fish, he made me fish so he could watch me. I feel dirty even just saying it. But the whole time it was like, no, you got to do it this way. No, you got to do it this way. No, you got to do it this way. And then I'm like, pull it out. I don't want to touch it. And, you know, that kind of thing. And so We were talking this week and we were saying our goodbyes, and he lost the ability to speak. So it was really the first time that he ever listened to me. And I told him, I said, Henry, when you get up to heaven, you are going to be tempted to tell Peter how to fish. Don't do it. Give some time, get to know each other first before you start correcting him. He's the most famous fisherman in the world. And so I said, blink if you understand. And he blinked and smiled. So here, anyway, Jesus gives him some advice. And the advice was, do the same thing you did last night. You know, and it'd be one thing if Jesus said, oh, I know this honey hole around the corner where the fish are, or I know what lure works best in this type of water. He doesn't. He says, throw into the deep water like you did all night long last night. So you remember that passage in Romans we just read, 10:17. Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. Our faith grows from listening to what God says. Our faith grows from spending time in His Word. As we ingest this, it becomes part of us. That's where our faith grows. Listening to God, but you have to choose to listen. You have to choose to listen. I mean, any of you that have kids understand that. And so Jesus had a famous saying. He said, he who has ears, let him hear. He also said, in hearing, they do not hear. And his point was that when he was telling parables and telling stories, there's a difference between hearing the story and listening to it. And I've seen it a million times in this church. When a baby cries and a mom jumps up, not all the moms, but one mom jumps up, none of the dads even notice what's going on. Because she knows that's her baby. She can hear his voice. So that's what the type of listening we need to learn to do. Pick up on God's voice. Jesus said it this way, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So we need to learn to discern Jesus' voice through the din of all the other voices vying for our attention. Okay, the next thing is obey. It's hard enough to listen when you're tired. It's even harder to obey. Obedience requires energy. Jesus gave instructions that didn't make sense to Peter. Go do the same thing you did 100 times before. But Peter obeyed. Same thing happens to us when your budget is stretched thin and God says, you know what? I want you to put a little more money in the offering this week for First Refuge. Or you're stretched for time and your schedule's overbooked and God says, hey, this person's hurting. You need to go have some coffee with them and sit down and talk. Just encourage them. Does it make sense to give when you have needs? It doesn't make sense to turn the other cheek. It doesn't make sense to pray for those who persecute you. But we need to be like Peter, who says, if you say so. That's all Peter said. He says, but at your word, I'll do it. If you say so. Obedience needs to be our automatic response. That way, when God tells us something, we don't have to think about it. The decision's already made. We've already decided I'm going to obey whatever Jesus tells me to do. You don't have to spend time thinking about it. Just say, yes, Lord, at your word, at your command, whatever you say. Couple more things. Share. One of the principles of this story is sharing. Faith and sharing go hand in hand. We don't typically talk like that in America, but that's exactly what this story shows us. Jesus needed a boat. Peter gave it to him. Despite the bad night, exhaustion, work left to do, he's still on his shift. Then when his nets begin to break, he calls over his partners in their boat. Because now both of them are sinking. Faith doesn't let you keep blessings of God to yourselves. If we kept all the blessings that God gave us to ourselves, our boats would sink. Our nets would rip. Our boats would sink. We couldn't contain them all. And so generosity and faith go together. God wants us to bless us so that we might bless others. I've told you about the Dead Sea before, so I won't spend a lot of time there. But the Dead Sea has waterways into it, but no tributaries out. And so it collects all of the minerals and has no place for them to go. That's why the sea is salty and nothing can live there. And the same with us. If we're just a conduit of receiving blessing, but we have no way to get it out, it's unhealthy. It's stagnant. And it leads to death. So we need to share our faith. When God blesses, we need to bless others. Another thing I see in this story is questioning. Faith will always bring you to questions that you've never had to answer before. And a lot of times you're not expecting to run into. So here's Peter. He's fishing. It's what he does. It's another day. He had a bad day. He knows the difference between a good fishing day and a bad fishing day. And then he knew that what he experienced was beyond the pale. It was a miracle. It was God's intervention in the natural world in a supernatural way. It wasn't just an accident. They didn't happen up onto the school of fish. That he just saw something that was divine. And that's why his response was to fall at Jesus' knees and say, "Go away from me because I'm a sinful man." So when God blesses us, two things happen. First, God changes our circumstances like he did here with the fish being caught. But second, God changes us. And Peter saw the circumstance changed, saw how God had done that in a miraculous way, and then just in an instant had a moment of introspection. It was almost as if a spiritual mirror was held up to his face. And he realized that he wasn't the man God wanted him to be. He was very different from this man. He didn't have the faith of this man. He had just sat through and heard the teachings of this man and realized his heart wasn't where this man's heart was. And so he's starting to put things together. And he's starting to realize that God wasn't just wanting to change his circumstances, but God was wanting to change him. And so he falls to his knees and repent. Now, has that come up in any of our faith stories before? Yeah, everyone. Faith and falling on your knees in front of Jesus go together like peanut butter and jelly. I was going to say ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong or something. Isn't that one? Yeah. Okay. I promise this is the last part, but not the last joke. Okay. Step up is the last one. Don't use your faith just to change your own circumstances, just to solve problems. Use your faith as a stepping stone to grow so that we might grow in our faith. And so Jesus here was helping Peter see his potential. That's why he says in verse 10, he says, "Don't be afraid," Jesus told Simon, "from now on you will be catching people." Jesus gave Peter the best day of fishing in his entire life. But more than that, he unlocked Peter's faith. Peter's now seen something that was unbelievable. Peter now has seen his leadership potential. He says, I'm gonna lead you to become a fisher of men. And later on, Jesus would tell Peter, "I say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." So Peter's faith took him from this very first moment, out on the water, tossed around by the waves, to eventually become the rock on which Jesus anchored his church. The founding stone of the apostles. And we can't even imagine, comprehend what impact Peter has made on the world. In the same way, we can't imagine the impact that God wants our faith to have. When we're obedient, God will use us for His glory in ways that we can't imagine. Just another day at work for Peter. Well, started out that way. Ended up changing his whole life. And that's what faith will do. So with faith, we have this anchor for the soul. Turbulent, stormy waters that we live in. And we have something that gives us a place to stay put. We've seen it over and over in these stories as we've watched them together. If we will make faith important in our lives, we'll live with hope in a seemingly hopeless world. But we must learn to listen. We must learn to discern the voice of Jesus. We must learn to obey. We must learn to share our faith with others and our blessings with others. And we have to continue to grow into the potential and future that God has for us. Because I think great faith is something that we all can have. Now, some of us have a spiritual gift of faith. Okay, that's a different level of faith. But all of us here have faith. And we can have great faith. God's given us everything we need to get started. Even a tiny mustard seed of faith can grow into something great. So don't let your faith stop being challenged. Don't let your faith stop being pruned. Don't let your faith stop being exercised. Keep pursuing Jesus. Keep growing. And grow a faith that reaches its potential where we're moving mountains together. Let's pray together as we close. Lord, thank you for the reminder that you're pursuing us. And that you'll chase us down whenever, wherever, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. Good days or bad days. And so, Lord, we want to grow. We want to be like Peter was here. In this initial encounter with you, Lord, he responded well. He listened. He obeyed. He shared. He looked inside his heart. He repented. And his faith grew that day. And so, Lord, I'm believing that this week we will have very similar opportunities in our lives for our faith to grow and be strengthened. And so do that work in us, we pray, Lord, that, excuse me, that work in us, Lord, we pray. Minister through us. Lord, we are so blessed. And you want us to share those blessings with others. Show us how to do it. Speak to us. Let us hear your voice. Guide us to the people you want us to minister to. And Lord, we pray over First Refuge today. Thank you for their ministry. Thank you for Josh and his leadership. Father, I ask that you would meet every one of their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We believe with them for 100 new volunteers. Lord, I believe you're going to bring counselors even out of New Life Church to minister healing in a world that is just tossed and turned. But we have this anchor for the soul. And so, Lord, help us lead others to that as well. So we love you. We give you praise and glory and honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to have a ministry team up front. We'd love to pray with you. If there's anything going on in your life, and then if you are online and we can pray with you. Go to newlifedenton.org/pray, and someone will pray with you there. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you His peace. God bless you. Have a great week.